See some snowbirds back. That's nice. Lots of faces I haven't seen before. Let's turn to the, let's please rise and let's turn to the greeting. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. The grace and peace of Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead to bring everlasting hope, be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's join in 365. Jesus Christ is risen today. Please turn to the litany of thanksgiving in your bulletins. Thank you, our Father God, for the news of Easter.
Rejoice in the resurrection story, O God.
We are humbled by the magnificence of new life.
And we ask for continual renewal of life, O Father.
For the joy that sprang from the grave, for the happiness that Jesus' friends felt when he recognized them and called them by name, and for the blessing of knowing him.
We give you thanks, O God.
Rekindle in us this Easter the faith you have so generously bestowed upon us through your Holy Spirit.
That our feelings, thoughts, words, and deeds may be directed by our trust in you, O Father.
Shower upon the whole earth, magnificent God, the resurrection news.
That even where people do not know your Son, he may instill justice at the very least, and merciful loving kindness, if possible, in the minds and hearts of all people.
At this season of the year, when the best news of all is proclaimed again and again, let it especially be heard by those who are sick,
by those who are troubled in any way,
by those who are distressed in mind or spirit,
by those who are dying,
by those who are grieving for a loved one already called to triumphant life with you.
By all, O Father, who in any way need even stronger reassurance that yours is the victory over everything that can possibly destroy us.
Reassure them and us that ours, too, is the same victory through Christ, whom we have accepted in faith.
To you, O God, Father, Son, and Spirit, we give praise and honor now and forever. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption, and by his glorious resurrection, you delivered us from the power of death. Make us die every day to sin, that we may live with him forever in the joy of the resurrection. through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. I see we have some children here today, so I think I'm going to invite any children who are brave enough to come forward for a time with them. And I'll tell you, you're going to get a good surprise if you come up, okay? Because the Easter Bunny came today. Come on, man. I need you. Just have a seat, okay? Yeah, you can sit there too, Julie, if you want. Come on, man. Come on, man. Be my friend. Okay, that's okay. That's close enough. That's close enough. I wouldn't want to either. Do you know what happens today? Why do we celebrate today? It's Easter, and what happened on Easter? What? The Easter Bunny came. That's what I was afraid of. Actually, I asked this 20 years ago to one of the kids that came forward, and one little boy said, "I know, Pastor, I know." I says, "What is it, Billy?" He says, "He riz." Do you know what that means, he riz? Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Jesus, the Son of God, died and came back from the dead. Let me tell you a little story. You all know what a robin is, don't you? Robin has this big red breast and a nice bird. Do you know how they got the red breast? This is the tale that's told, okay? I don't know if it really happened this way, but this is what came down to tell me. The bird was there when Jesus was crucified. He hung on a cross like that. And the bird saw, it looked like a nest flying above. It looked like a nest on that cross. And when he went down and landed, it was the crown of thorns that they had put on Jesus' head. And when the bird landed, the crown of thorns pierced the bird's chest, and it bled and turned red. And that's the tale they told me, why a robin has a red chest. Now this bird, the next day and the next day, comes back, and he goes and where Jesus was buried in a tomb, in a cave, and this bird came and he sees that Jesus came back to life. And this bird that was wounded in the chest said, "I will carry this wound to remember Jesus' birth forever and ever and ever." And that's why we have that's why robins have red chests. Now that's just a tale to tell, you know. I don't know if it's true or not. And we have Easter bunnies. And the Easter bunny came here. And he said, "Any kids who come up..." "...can have two." And Mom said, "Now don't give those kids sugar highs, because they will drive their parents crazy." Oh, there you go. Here, Emily, you can have one too, okay? Anyway, Jesus, the Son of God, rose from the dead. And he came to life today, and that's why we celebrate, that's why the Easter Bunny comes, that's why the birds come north, because we have new life, okay? And it's great to have you, so happy Easter. Now you can go back to your seats. And we'll invite the choir to sing their praises.
Lord is risen, risen. First reading for Easter Sunday is from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Easter means new life for us, as it first meant new life for Christ. His resurrection reshapes the entire focus and motivation for our lives, since we are now hidden with the risen Christ in God. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Here ends the reading. The psalm for today is Psalm 118, where you see the bold print, please say that. And where you see the bold R, repeat the refrain, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's mercy endures forever.
Let Israel now declare, God's mercy endures forever.
The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation.
Shouts of rejoicing and salvation.
The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly.
I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
The Lord indeed punished me sorely, but did not hand me over to death.
Open for me the gates of righteousness.
This is the gate of the Lord. Here the righteous may enter.
I give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
By the Lord has this been done. It is marvelous.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Here ends the psalm. Please rise for the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for Easter Sunday comes from the 20th chapter of St. John. John's gospel describes the confusion and excitement of the first Easter. The stone is moved, disciples race back and forth, and angels speak to a weeping woman. Then Jesus himself appears. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb, saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb.
So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, "Thine is the Glory." Let's sing the first, second, and last verse. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Welcome to church on Easter Sunday 2015, celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. This is the most important day in the year for Christians. Unfortunately, tomorrow is the biggest day of the year for some golfers because it's the start of the Masters Tournament in Augusta, Georgia. Read a story. You think I'm kidding about the relative importance of the Masters Tournament, but years ago, Frank Cherkinian, the head of CBS Sports, discovered that the Masters and Easter Sunday happened on the same day of the year, and he was upset at this conflict, and so he demanded that his colleagues, who sets the date of Easter? Don't they realize that they schedule it on the Masters weekend? Let's get to that person and have him change Easter. I don't know how they resolved that conflict. I'm pretty sure they didn't change the date of Easter. But if they could, I'm sure sports is such a powerful force in our society that they would have done it. You know by now that the drama of Easter unfolds. It begins 2 days earlier on Good Friday. Jesus of Nazareth is crucified by the Roman authorities at the instigation of the religious authorities. He's nailed to a cross. His side is pierced by a sword. Soldiers affix a sign above his head that says, this is Jesus, King of the Jews. Death came rather swiftly and mercifully after only about 6 hours hanging on that cross. Some people later on said that he must have died from a broken heart, because some people would hang for days before they would succumb to death. After the Roman centurion confirms his death, Pontius Pilate, the Roman prefect for the territory, grants permission to a fellow by the name of Joseph of Arimathea to claim his body. Now, Joseph of Arimathea is a wealthy man, a pious man, a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin, the law courts. He'd become a follower of Jesus, evidently, and Joseph is aided by a wealthy Pharisee named Nicodemus. Nicodemus, in the third chapter of John, if you remember, went to Jesus' house after dark to find out and ask him questions, and Jesus says, well, you're going to have to be born again. But Nicodemus must have been, took the message seriously, because when time came to take Jesus off the cross, his disciples had disappeared, so Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus claim Jesus' body. Now, thought occurred to me this year, did they take the pole out of the rock and lay him down? Or did they climb up there and carefully take him off? Because they had spikes in his hands. Anyway, that caught my attention this year. But these guys had to act quickly because the Jewish Sabbath became on Friday evening. So if he died in the middle of the afternoon, they had to get Jesus in the tomb and get the tomb sealed before the Sabbath began. It's certainly not the way they would have wanted to treat their master. They were perhaps risking their own lives performing this act of love and this act of honor. Certainly they were risking their reputations in front of all their Jewish family and friends. That showed how much Jesus meant to them. Indeed, he meant everything to them, and now they have to hurry through the burial preparations. I mean, that must have been like salt in their wounds. It's significant that they laid him in a borrowed grave. Jesus said on one occasion, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He owned no property on which he could be buried. The tomb belonged to this same Joseph of Arimathea. Probably had prepared it or had it purchased for his own burial. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us that the tomb was hewn out of rock, so Joseph of Arimathea must have been a very wealthy man, because most people were just buried in the ground, but to hew it out of rock in the side of a mountain or something showed of his importance. There's a time-honored piece of humor that says that a couple weeks after the resurrection, someone asked Joseph of Arimathea, why'd you let them bury Jesus in your brand new tomb? And Joseph shrugged his shoulders and says, well, he only needed it for the weekend. I thought it was pretty good. Been using it for 30 years. Well, he only did need it for the weekend. The act was done. Christ now lay in the tomb. Those devoted friends were back safely in their homes as they grieved and awaited the dawning of the first day of the week when they could take their time and anoint his body in an appropriate way. This all happened before Easter Sunday morning. And so we can appreciate the words with which John begins his description of that first Easter. He says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. What beautiful and significant words. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark. Would you agree with me that before the resurrection of Jesus, the world was a dark, dark place? There's a widely known Baptist preacher named Carlisle Marnie. Marnie was once at Duke University to give a lecture, and a student asked, Dr. Marnie, would you please say a word or two about the resurrection of the dead? And Marnie looked at those students and says, I'm not going to discuss that with people like you. And one of the students was shocked, wanted to know why. He says, look, you're in the prime of your life. Never have you known honest to God failure, heartburn, impotency, solid defeat, brick walls, mortality. So what can you know about a dark world which only makes sense if Christ is raised? No wonder that story is so well known. It is a dark world which only makes sense if Christ be raised. And so we read these words today, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. The darkness also speaks of the eagerness with which Mary of Magdala hastened to the tomb to perform this one last act of love for her master. She had waited through the Sabbath, dark hours before the dawning Sunday morning. Now she could wait no longer. She gets up early. She walks those dark streets. There's no street lights. There's no candles. She must stumble along. Then she comes to the tomb, and it's they must have taken Christ at night because there's no one in the tomb. And so early on that first day, while it's still weak, still dark, Mary goes to the tomb. She finds that the rock is removed from the entrance. Must have surely hit her in the gut like someone pounding on her. Her first reaction is that someone had stolen Christ's body. Isn't that interesting? She didn't even think of a resurrection. She thought someone stole Christ's body. Then she goes back and tells Peter and the disciple whom Christ loved, who is John, the gospel writer himself. You notice I give in to that? She and I have an ongoing conversation about whether it was this disciple, young John, who wrote the Gospel of John. She says yes, and I say no. We'll talk about it later. Anyway, she arrives there, and that stone's gone. She comes running to Simon Peter, tells him they've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they put him. I can hear the pain in her voice. You know, last week that plane that the pilot threw down into the Alps, put on automatic pilot and flew into the Alps. They're still going through body pieces to try and identify the DNA and who's who. I think of the Malaysian Airlines that was shot in Chechnya or Russia and Ukraine, how people were desperate to uncover and find where their loved ones are. The Malaysian Airlines that went down somewhere in the Indian Ocean or South China Sea. These people understand that the bodies are now empty shells, no longer contain the spirit of their loved ones, but they desperately want to have some closure that only comes with respectfully disposing of their loved ones' remains. And Jesus' body should have been sealed in that tomb, but now it's gone. Mary Magdalene wanted closure too. But here this is maybe an act of desecration. So her heart is sinking, and Peter and John are mystified. They begin running toward the tomb. John's the quick one, gets there and doesn't want to go in. Peter, the old lumbering one, like Skip, gets there last and just goes right on in. Let's go see. And he sees the cloth laying there in separate places. And finally, John also goes in. And our lesson says, he saw and believed. But then the writer adds, they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. In other words, it's still dark that first Easter morning. Disciples were in the dark just like everyone else. And Mary Magdalene, who loved the Master so much, was completely in the dark as well. They still didn't understand what's going on. And her heart is breaking. It's a dark world without Easter. No truer statement can ever be made. Pastor Jerry Jones tells about a Christian man and his wife who lost their young son on Good Friday through a tragic accident in 1996. The boy's funeral was on Easter Sunday afternoon. And during the memorial service, the father got up and shared with his family and friends that Easter had taken on a whole new importance to him. He says, until you stare death eye to eye, he began sobbing. Easter is just a word. It's a nice day with bunny rabbits and eggs. But when someone so precious to you dies, Easter becomes everything. an anchor in a fierce storm, a rock on which to stand, a hope that raises you above despair and keeps you going. That's what Easter meant to this fellow. It's a dark, dark world without Easter. On the other hand, with Easter, we see hope bursting forward, and every blossom of springtime comes with it. There's hope in Easter. I was amused to read a story about an elementary school class that was taking a test. One question was, upon what do hibernating animals subsist during the winter? And one child wrote this, all winter long, hibernating animals subsist on the hope of the coming spring. I said, that's me. After a long, long winter, you guys who go south, you don't know how blessed you are. By the way, those of you who are visiting about a few weeks ago, Jack, you'll appreciate this. Someone asked, Pastor, they're having heat waves down in Arizona. Can we pray for the poor people in Arizona who are suffering from the heat? So we did. We really felt sorry for you, man. But, you know, that night might not be what the answer the teacher was looking for, the hope of the coming spring, but it does have a ring of truth. We do subsist on hope. It's built into every fiber of our being. One last story. Dr. Jane McAdams is a medical doctor. She was shocked to the core when her 68-year-old mother was told she had progressive lymphoma. Doctors gave her less than a month to live, so when the daughter, Dr. McAdams, came to break the news, she found her 68-year-old mother. Shoot, that's you and me, Julie. Oh, you're way younger than me. She was looking through a spring catalog, and she was looking at expensive purses, and her mother is as penny-pinching as can be. And that day, she decided not to tell her mother of the diagnosis instead, because she figured out the mother was basically asking, was she going to live long enough for a summer purse? So she didn't tell her that day that her mother had this cancer. Instead, she went out and bought the most expensive purse they can. And every year since, she's been going out and buying an expensive summer purse for her mother. At the time of the writing, the mother was about to celebrate her 83rd birthday. There's amazing power in hope. There's amazing power in the promise of life in the age to come. Hope is what Easter is all about. Without Easter, this is a dark, dark world. With Easter, hope bursts forward like every springtime blossom we have. And that leads me to say one last thing. Thank God for Easter. I said we don't have any scientific evidence for life beyond the grave, but we do have historical evidence. The testimony of those who experienced Christ's resurrection is so compelling that the only reason why a person might reject it is that it might require them to make a change in how they're living. That's the right of every person who rejects it. But for me, and I suspect for you, we will leave this place with an hallelujah on our lips, ringing in our ears, ringing in our hearts, because today we celebrate Jesus is alive. And because he lives, we too shall live. Easter is God's light beaming into a dark, dark world. Because Christ lives, the world is a lot brighter than it has ever been before. So we have much to be celebrating. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering. Let's join in singing Beautiful Savior, 838. Let's sing the first, second, and last verse.
You are.
Please rise and let us turn to the offertory prayer on page 5. Let us pray together. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Made alive to God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. O God, in Christ's death and resurrection, your church is reborn. Bless your people in every nation, Orthodox, Catholic, Protestant, Pentecostal. Raise us up to witness together to your undying love for the world. Hear us, O God. O God, your faithfulness extends to all the earth. On this Easter morn, we pray for creation. Make terror and destruction cease, and renew all things in the bright dawning of your love. Hear us, O God. O God, the resurrection of your Son means life for every nation. Show us that promise and hope. Heal nations scarred by injustice and greed. Give hope to those ravaged by violence. Hear us, O God. O God, your Son healed all who were oppressed. Bless those who heal and show compassion in Jesus' name, even as we pray for the many among us who are still in need. Heavenly Father, you are the great healer, the great physician. Heal those who are hurting in our lives. Hear us, O God. O God, in the waters of baptism, you call us by name and raise us to new life in you. Renew us with all faith, hope, and love, that we might be Christ's risen body in the world. Hear us, O God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this gift of Easter, for new hope that comes. Fill each one of us gathered here this morning with hope and joy and love. Thank you for the forgiveness that we have been given.